You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website. Or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for August 18th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the furthest point away from both sides do it on this earth, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Hey, Driftglass.
Hey, Blue Gal.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Yeah, by the time this drops, we're going to be 12 hours away from our wedding anniversary.
That's right. And we've been married for 6 years, so we're still newlyweds.
And you know what we did the week of our wedding?
We podcasted.
Yes, we did.
On the day of our wedding, we had a podcast drop. So,
surely.
Yeah.
Don't listen to that, folks.
Don't listen to that show. But you know what we could listen to? You could listen to episode 388.
You could. You totally could.
That episode 388, I was listening to old podcasts driving back and forth from Augustana College this week because we had to take Junior Dude is now there, ensconced as a freshman.
Yeah.
Doing all the orientation welcome week stuff he has to do. And he's there and mom drove away and left him and, you know, I'm doing okay. But on the road to and from, I listened to some of our old podcasts, and I happened to listen to episode 388. And you know what we were talking about last May, Driftglass?
What in the world were we talking about last May?
We were talking about the Republican Party being the Republican Party of the Confederacy.
Really?
And that so much of what Trump's base and what the base of Trump's support is about white male nationalism, supremacy, testosterone, Nazi bullshit.
Yeah.
And we
let's just not do a podcast this week and just put on some music.
But everybody go ahead and listen back
direct them over to episode 388.
Our catalog. Yeah. No, I think we got plenty to talk about.
Well, it's been a busy week. And
we are podcasting
Friday morning.
He's going to pretend it's Friday morning. Okay, go ahead.
We're podcasting Friday morning. And it's been very hectic, and there's a lot of crazy shit happened this week, and we postponed it all the way till Friday morning to get everything in.
Yeah,
so before we roll through the week, which is going to just be coming at you just bullet style, bam, 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 because there's so much crap happened, I want to lay down one rock solid prediction. You can bet the mortgage on this, and that is Steve Bannon ain't going anywhere. Just
wah, wah.
Steve Bannon, he had to go away now, which reminds me, we would once again like to welcome back our presenting sponsor and now the single most profitable business in Washington, D.C. That's Where the Good Lord Split You, Emergency Farewell Party Planners.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine a big swastika cake is being rolled out right now for Steve Bannon.
Right. That's right. And they also have special cakes that are shaped like cardboard boxes with all your stuff in them.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Little SS candles. Uh-huh. It's just adorable. Uh-huh. What they can do at a moment's notice is amazing. And Steve Bannon looks like the kind of guy who ordered every day from Technically It's a Salad.
Yeah, he did. Technically It's a Salad every day for lunch.
I just want Twinkie and Scotch for lunch again.
Yep.
I think he is the portrait that Mnuchin or the Mooch hung in his closet that aged horribly while the Mooch, you know, retained his youthful vigor. So
he's
someone's Dorian Gray portrait.
He is. And he just keeps getting more and more kind of decaying. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's taken a toll. Being Steve Bannon has taken a toll on Steve Bannon for sure.
Now there's a lot of speculation and many Beltway people running around in circles, flapping their arms, wondering what this all means. It doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean squat. No.
Here's what it means. The racist president fired his racist hype man because he was becoming too much of a liability. And now
taking stage room away from Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the violation of the code of conduct that cannot be withstood. If you are taking attention away from Trump or if you cross him in public, then you're fired. If you do in any other way, side with Nazis or, you know, screw somebody else's wife or whatever.
Loyalty
to Trump is the only thing that matters. And so Steve Bannon was on the phone talking talking trash about Trump and North Korea
to the American prospect.
Yeah.
Because you know what I do, as a 30-year veteran of the media, Blue Gal. What I do when I want to unburden myself and blurt out lots of really incendiary remarks is I call up the most opposition newspaper I can think of and just spill it all.
Yeah.
After drinking, I assume, a fifth of something really.
Well,
really
and I'm sorry, the American Prospect is not the Nation magazine.
No.
I saw that on Twitter yesterday that there were people saying, well, what do you want? The American Prospect, that's owned by Bolsheviks, or that's owned by, you know, that's run out of the George Soros liberal warehouse. And everybody's like, no, not exactly. That is
not the Utney Reader.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It is not anti-establishment or, you know, I remember.
Well, it's not pro-Nazi, Blue Gal.
You know,
it's not objectively pro-Nazi.
No, it's not objectively pro-Nazi. I've been thinking a lot, of course, about my college days this week. And one of the things that happened in my student union was there would be hippies walking around the front of the student union with literally a communist newspaper they were selling.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was a Reagan Republican. I have to admit that. For color, I had this friend who was a Reagan Republican. And he was approached by a hippie in front of the student union asking if he'd like to buy a communist newspaper. And he held up the Boston Globe and said, I've already got one. So those memories, you know, good times.
Good time.
Back in the day when
those innocent salad days.
Absolutely.
Not technically it's a salad. That's a totally different matter.
No, that's technically a salad. And I noticed that Red State now has gone. A whole lot of people are finding that lifeboat in their garage that they can just pull right out and jump into and say, I was never with him. Or,
hey, Mom, hey, Dad, guess what I found in the garage.
Yeah. And Red State is now Red State was consistently anti-Trump during the election. But, you know, once he won, what are you going to do? We need our tax cuts, right? Here's the line from Red State, Drift Class. Tell me what's wrong with this sentence. You cannot continue as the party who isn't quite ready to toss the white supremacist movement.
There's a theme here, Blue Gal. I believe the sentence is, you cannot continue as the party who isn't quite ready to toss the white supremacist movement salad.
Salad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which means, you know, tickling their undersides with your mouth.
And who is this you they're talking to? Because
I don't know. Who is this? Not my party.
And I got to say, the person that I have admired most this week is Reverend Barber.
Oh, yeah.
Who has continually pointed out that you can pretend that you're not with the Klan and you can pretend that you're not with Nazis and hold your hands up in the air and say, oh, my God, this is so horrible.
Yeah.
But if you are for voter ID and gerrymandering and think it's perfectly OK to have tax cuts for billionaires while 20% of American children live in poverty, you're a white supremacist.
Yeah.
So if you're going to toss white supremacy and say we're not that party, go ahead. We'd love to see it.
Well,
but you're not, and your policies show it.
And if you've been on a bus, I wrote this on my blog somewhere like 12 years ago, you know, long ago, everything that you hear on this podcast, everything that we talk about, you and I both wrote a decade ago.
Yeah, we did during the Bush years. Absolutely.
This is what's so incredibly boring and pedantic about this discussion, not between you and I, but just watching the rest of the world having literally no short-term memory because they don't remember the Bush administration ever happened.
At all. Right.
So there was all this all of a sudden realization that, oh, my God, the Republican Party's full of assholes. When did that happen?
Yeah, right.
I wrote this a long time ago. Look, if you're on a bus, if you get on the bus and you look to your left and there's a Klansman and you're right, there's a Nazi and there's a skinhead driving it, maybe you're on the wrong bus. And if you stay on that bus and go and go and go and go and go for 30 years, you know what? Pardon me for not being able to distinguish you from everybody else on the fucking bus.
Right, right.
Because you never got off. Because it was taking you where you wanted to go.
It was taking you where you wanted to go. And so you're more than willing to ride with those people to get what... And they still are. That's the thing that now... And I do want you to talk about your Eugene Robinson post from today. Because I read that and I admired it. Eugene Robinson wrote a column saying, you know, history will remember the people who stood with Trump at this moment in time.
Oh.
Mitch McConnell is not talking to Paul Ryan about impeachment. They're not planning that.
No.
They're planning on how can we get these tax cuts through before the end of the year. That's what they're talking about.
The famous quote, history will little note nor long remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we say here, but what we do here. No. History, I had to tell Eugene Robinson, who I call Gene now, because we're in the same business, basically, that I like his work and he's a perfectly nice man, but he's completely wrong about this. History's out chasing rainbows somewhere. It's playing with puppies far away. It hasn't been present on the scene for a long time. What we have instead of history is our pundits.
Mm-hmm.
And pundits have consistently reset the big history clock to 1201 every single time the Republican Party has committed an unforgivable act of atrocity.
Yep.
Every single fucking time for the last 25 years, every goddamn time after the Clinton administration, when they made it very clear that we don't want to impeach Bill Clinton, but we have to, because every president needs to be held to this incredibly high standard where even if what they do is just, mildly annoying. Mm-hmm. Even if you just get a whiff of something through some crackpot magazine, you got to investigate it. You got to put a special prosecutor on the case. And if we find anything wrong anywhere, got to impeach the guy. Got to do it. All of that was jettisoned the minute George Bush stole the election in 2000. Every last bit of it. All of it. And the people who should have been minding the store and weren't were journalists.
Mm-hmm.
The people who should have been saying, wait a minute. Our job is to report on what powerful people do and do not and what they're hiding and what they don't want you to know. And every one of you motherfuckers who were screaming for Clinton's blood over nothing are now completely cool with George Bush lying, stealing an election and lying to the wrong war and all the other atrocities.
Yep.
And then, of course, right after the Bush administration, they jettisoned everything they said. They said, no. If you're time of war president, you can shut up and obey him. That's your
mm-hmm.
job.
Mm-hmm.
Minute Bush
mm-hmm.
left office, suddenly all that was out the window. And it happens over and over and over again. And the cause of that is, of course, the direct cause of that is because the Republican Party are full of racists and liars. And getting back to this statement about can't continue to be the party of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm,
look,
mm-hmm.
if all the bigots and all the Nazis and all the morons and all the gun nuts and all the creepy anti-science evangelicals and all the homophobes left the Republican Party tomorrow, there would be 400 guys in bad golf pants bitching about taxes.
I would that you might be lucky enough to get 9 to 11% of the vote.
Yeah. Because they're just because it's just a bunch of
bankers, wealthy
white
bankers. Yeah.
Plutocrats who want zero taxes on mm-hmm. everything they do. And mm-hmm. they found
regulations because their companies will make more money. It's all about making money.
They invested their money for decades and decades on building this army of imbeciles and bigots and reprogrammable meatbags to do their bidding, to do whatever they want.
But that's what I want to ask you, because uh-huh. it seems to me that the fact that Shelley Adelson has not jettisoned the Republican Party at this point as a bad investment and said, look, mm-hmm. because he's one of the five families, right, that
right.
basically owns the Republican Party. There's five people you can name, the Mercers, Shelley Adelson is one. There's a number the guy from Home Depot, these guys are the one, the Koch brothers, these are the guys that shell out millions upon millions of dollars. And they said that their line in the sand was, we're going to withhold, the Koch brothers said, we're going to withhold $400,000 of campaign money that we were going to spend on reelecting Republicans next year. And we're going to hold off until we get repeal of Obamacare and our tax cut.
Yeah.
And, so they've put their money aside. But they're not jettisoning the party that they own, because that's their party. This is their play. This is the tool that they own. They own this hammer, right?
Yeah, they cannot self-terminate.
They knew, everybody knows that there is this, whether it's a wing or the core or the base or however you want to put it, that there is a large segment, noisy segment mm-hmm. of the Republican Party that is racist.
Right, that's the
point.
And
that's the point. I mean, it's been
on purpose
amplified and magnified by having a Democratic black president.
By having Fox News and hate radio working that group for 20 years.
And especially for the past 8.
Yep.
But now you've got And this is a lot of African American commentators have said this, you know, when you stir Nazis into the mix, it becomes a much easier thing for Americans to stand aside from that and say, sure. Because you don't have any personal culpability with being a Nazi in right. terms of we have, you know, a heritage of slave ownership and maybe yeah. your great, 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 great grandfather was in the South and you don't want to paint yourself with that mm-hmm. brush. But Nazis, you can absolutely say that's America's enemy and say that's a bridge too far. Shelley Adelson hasn't said that Donald Trump, he's concerned. You know, he's doing that sure. game that a lot of senators are doing. They're very concerned about it. But there is no cost to Shelley Adelson to stick with this and hope that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan pull something off. Well, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Let's say they do pull it off. Let's say they pass a clean debt ceiling. Mm-hmm. And so that crisis goes away. And I have something to say about that in a minute. But they get that crisis put behind them. And then they actually do pass a bill in both houses that cuts taxes for billionaires. Gives Shelley Adelson what he wants.
Everything he wants, right?
And you take that to Donald Trump for a signature. Who's going to stand behind Donald Trump while he signs that? Everybody?
Nope.
Are Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell going to stand and get their picture taken?
Let me.
Paul Ryan is running for, you know, he's a House member. He's running for re-election. He's got a significant opponent this time. He's got Iron Stash running against him. It's getting a lot of media. Mm-hmm. Is he going to stand behind Donald Trump and smile while they sign the tax cut for billionaires? While they sign off Shelley Adelson's tax cut? Does he have a choice?
No. Let me try this angle on that, because that's a really good point. I can't quite think of the name of the book, but I'm sure it was science fiction. But it was an insight into a fictional insight into how big money works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a diamond as big as the Ritz kind mm-hmm. of money.
Right.
Not, you know, well, crap. If we either we do it now or we do it next week and might have the money. No, if you can take an entire political party.
Right.
And put it just as one of your investments.
Mm-hmm.
And have it in a portfolio, and maybe it performs and maybe it doesn't. You come around, you nudge it, and you push it around along with all your other investments. And you've been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. What do you care? What do you care about one election? The thing that happened to the Republican Party was this. They turned the Republican base. They cultivated the Republican base into reprogrammable meatheads
mm-hmm.
who would do anything that Fox News told them, believe anything, forget what they said yesterday, forget the consequences of their actions, ignore. And they got the press to go along with it. They got the media to agree to some, you know, horrific secret conspiracy never talk about what, you know, Newt Gingrich said last week, ever.
Right.
Never. They never bring the shit up. And obviously that's corporate policy, because that's the way it goes. This last Sunday, Chuck Todd, through clenched teeth, said, well, basically, the Republican Party was great before 2015.
Yeah, yeah. You could barely spit that out. It was hard for him.
And so the problem that they're facing, right, that all these people are facing, and remember, the owners of the party are not facing these problems because they don't care. They'll wait another 10 years. But the problem that Chuck Todd and the people who do the bidding of those people, the people who are answerable, the people who can be fired, the people who can lose their job if they don't toe a line somewhere,
mm-hmm.
they have spent the last decade splitting time down the middle. It's always both sides. Everything's mm-hmm. both sides. That's been mm-hmm. the universal excuse for everything. We're going to talk about that in just a minute and how that blew up in their face. But that excuse exhausted itself this week. Now, it'll be back. But suddenly, saying both sides marked you as a Nazi sympathizer. So they had to figure out a different way to exonerate their friends. So Chuck Todd just drew an arbitrary line on the calendar. Said, well, everything that happened before 2015 doesn't count.
Before
2015.
Before Donald Trump came down the escalator.
Before Donald Trump, everything was fucking fine.
Yep.
It's all on him. It's all him. So the whole idea is to exonerate the people who fund the party, the people who run things, mm-hmm. the people who mm-hmm. who damn well know what they're doing, because they built a party out of reprogrammable meatheads.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to be able to turn that party over to Marco Rubio
or Jeb Bush
or Ted
yep.
Cruz
yep. Yep.
Or Jeb Bush or somebody right. reliable who would get them everything they wanted and use the racists and use the Nazis without having to bring them to the surface and let everyone see what was really going on below mm-hmm. the hood. That's mm-hmm. always been the decision. The problem was they created the perfect feeding ground for a con man, better con man.
They did.
So Donald Trump just came in and said, oh, fuck it. I don't need to be constrained by anything. I'll tell these morons everything they want to hear. I'll tell them that immigrants are rapists. I'll tell them that ISIS is coming over the border. I'll tell them I'll bring coal jobs back. What the fuck do you want to hear? Tell me what you want to hear. I'll tell you. A more competent, accomplished liar who's willing to tell bigger and more phenomenal and fantastical lies than Jeb Bush ever dared to, mm-hmm. came along and took the morons away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't steal the party. The party was made ready. I mean, the George Bush was the John the Baptist of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He made that place ready for them. Karl Rove made it ready for Donald Trump. Lee Atwater made straight the way for Donald Trump. All these prophets of the Republican Party made everything ready for a liar and a racist and a lunatic like Trump to come along. But once he came along, they couldn't control him.
Right. Well, that's true. But I think there's something even deeper than that going on, too. We have to remember. Go ahead. Finish up. Yeah.
Just finish one more thing. You say you put Nazis in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes everything. Well, let me take you back 10 years.
Yeah.
You put torture in the mix.
Yep.
And war crimes in the mix. And that's about as un-American as you can get. What was the reaction from the media? Exactly the same.
Both sides.
Exactly.
It's controversial. Yeah.
It was Peggy Noonan. Yeah. Saying, oh, I don't think we should talk about that.
Right.
That's
right.
Just a few people over there. I think we should just ignore that and move on and not
it's
talk about that.
It's too unpleasant to talk about, and it's right. not who we are. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the right. lie right. that this was some sort of anomaly and yeah. not an actual outgrowth of Republican policy
right.
was permitted to stand because it really freaked everyone out
mm-hmm.
who goes
this
to
this is who America
parties.
Is. There's a segment of America that is thinks this is great.
Right.
Yep.
And so – you can. These are the same people.
Excuse me. Let's not forget that Sean Hannity hasn't been waterboarded yet.
No, and damn right? well should be.
Yeah.
And he's still
that
looking
was
for
his
the
thing. Was it's this is he's the still looking, deal, right?
Well, he's still looking for the WMDs in Syria,
which he's sure they're in Syria.
Absolutely
yeah.
sure they're there. But yeah. the point being, you bring along torture and the destruction of an American city mm-hmm. under the administration of a monumentally incompetent, criminally. Negligent asshole like George Bush and a truly evil person like Dick Cheney. And you think, well, that's unforgivable. But no, the people who fund it were like, we'll just sit out an election cycle. We'll just sit mm-hmm. this one out. We'll let them run around in circles and get exhausted. Then we'll come up with this excuse-making machine called the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll let everybody off the hook. And all the clowns who rolled over in the media for George Bush will get on board because they're complicit too. Nobody wants to start judging people on their level of complicity because if mm-hmm. that were true, Chuck Todd would be out of a fucking job. David Greger would never work again. You know, the entire mainstream media would be unemployed. So they're all like, oh, yeah, let's all agree not to talk about the shit we did last night.
Except that the person who was more than willing to talk about the shit they did last night was Donald Trump.
Yes.
Remember that debate where he ran over Jeb Bush and said,
yep.
your brother did not keep us safe.
Right.
He's responsible for 9/11.
Yeah.
And I remember all this stuff that he ignored the warnings and he didn't keep us safe. That we were attacked under your brother and telling Rubio and some of his other opponents said, you know, it's all just a blur now. But
yeah, they're all just,
you
know, big.
But calling them all out and saying you. Speaking for Republican base voters who were embarrassed by the Bush administration and saying, I'm not that party.
Exactly.
I'm a winner.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to lose like John McCain did. And I'm not going to lose like Mitt Romney did. And I'm going to call out Fox News for their bias, quote unquote, you know, uh-huh. and do the bleed and insult Megyn Kelly.
Uh-huh.
To her face, because she's a chick and she's from Fox and I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will never be wrong, voter, if you're with me.
And that's,
and
that was the promise that Karl Rove made, that we will never lose again. We will never lose again.
Permanent Republican majority.
We can be as shitty and awful and criminal and nuts as we can because we're going to have a permanent majority. So just go ahead and let your dick out. Go ahead and let your gut hang out. Because nobody will be around to judge you. No one will ever be above us again and be able to look down and judge us by the shit we do. So just let it all hang out. And they did. And then they lost.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they lost. And that's where the Republican Party lost its base for a minute. Because
they lost Fox News when they lied. Fox News lied to them.
Yes.
Mitt Romney was going to win. Mitt Romney was going to beat Obama because Obama's Satan incarnate. And so we're going to win with Romney, and you can count on that. You can take that to the bank.
But the formulation here is not that base voters suddenly had an attack of conscience.
Right.
quite the opposite. You promised us an indestructible alibi for us being assholes, obedient, racist assholes, and you failed us. Mm-hmm. Our alibi fell through. These fucking liberals are laughing at us. We look like fools now. Mm-hmm. And along comes Donald Trump and says, oh, no, it wasn't your fault. Yeah. It wasn't your fault.
It was Jeb Bush's fault. It was the Bush cabal
fault. And his brother's fault. It wasn't your fault. You know, Rube from Sister Fuck Arkansas, moron from a coal mine who thinks those jobs are coming back. It wasn't your fault.
Yep.
It was their fault. It was
another get-out-of-jail-free card that he's waving around like his dick.
And they're like, yeah, baby, yeah. Well, I'm voting for this guy because this guy said all the shit I didn't do.
Right.
So I like that. I like that. I used to tune into Fox for that, but they've fallen down on the job.
They let
now.
Me down,
this
yeah.
Breitbart thing, I'm kind of liking that because they never hold me to blame for anything. Yeah. And that's the allure. And that, those people are still there. So the money people, the talk can just wait this out.
Yeah.
You know, this will pass and some new faces will come and go and some people lose their jobs and the same core of reprogrammable morons at the Republican base will still be there in 2 years. It will still be there in 4 years. And you've said this before. The thing that will change things are demographics.
Yep. Yep.
These people have to die off over the course of time. They're old, they're bitter, they're white, and they're mostly men, and they're going to die off over the course of time. But they're never letting go of the idea that they deserve to be right. However wrong they are, they deserve to be on top, and they deserve to be right, and they deserve everyone else bowing down. And if that party – and they will follow any party who promises them that as their final reward, as their outcome, which leads us to Mitch McConnell.
Yes, of Kentucky.
Who has not been a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a bad boy. He said something mean about the dear leader. So Mitch McConnell had to spend a day in the barrel along with his wife.
Yep.
This is the part. This is when you knew the week was starting to jump it hard. Because Donald Trump made Mitch McConnell's wife trot out and act as a prop during his psycho press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And if she had, well, first of all, if she had a shred of dignity, she wouldn't be associated with Mitch McConnell. is a soulless monster.
Yep.
But she let herself be used as a prop for the worst human being to ever be president of the United States and sat there and took it because that's the price when you work for the mob, man, when you work for the organization, when you work for Trump, that's the price. You will swallow shit all day long and the shit's going to get uglier and meaner and crazier and you'll just sit there and fucking take it. And you know what's going to happen? At the end of the day, he's going to wipe his ass with you and throw you away anyway. And that's what the base loves about him.
Yep.
He just shits on everybody. And that's what they wish they could do. I've said this before, and I will say it again 100 times. Do not underestimate how much these people hate this country.
Yep.
And they elected a guy who hates this country every bit as much as they do. And they want to – if they can't own it, if they can't squeeze it dry, they want to fuck it to death. And that's where we stand. And that's what gets you Mitch McConnell. I got to give a tip of the hat to the Baltimore mayor. You mentioned this. We were talking this week.
She's awesome. This
blue gal?
Yeah. What? Yeah. The mayor of Baltimore in the middle of the night pulled a, I said it was a mayor. It was like Mayor Daley with an airport. And
a big spiel. Yeah.
Very, very briefly. Not, was it old Daley or was it young Daley?
Young Daley. It was young R2-D2. Daley. Yeah. R2-D2.
Middle of the night. There's an airstrip out on Lake Michigan. He wanted it to be a park.
Yeah, northerly. It was supposed to be Northerly Island, and there was a little executive airport out there.
He didn't want it, so one morning you woke up, and it was crumbled and all bulldozed up.
He bulldozed the runways, so it couldn't be used anymore. And it was like, Homeland Security, security is very dangerous out there. I just had to do it. And everybody said, okay.
What?
Well, that, A, you broke the law. B, you know, the like 9 different federal laws, but it was like, fuck you, it's done.
It's done.
You know,
too late.
The deed is done. There's nothing you can do about it. And and the mayor of Baltimore just went out in the middle of the night and just took that shit down, man. Took that shit down. And by the way, the title of our podcast this week, I think we should tell people. You try to come up with a title that reflects the mood of the week we're having. And the title this week is The Last Confederate Monument.
Yep.
Because the last Confederate monument in the United States is the Republican Party.
Is the Republican Party. It is. It is that group of people. And I don't care if they were Democrats in 1957. Or if we're I don't care about that.
Yeah. They've worked really hard to become the party of Jefferson Davis and absorb the South and absorb the Klan and absorb on purpose, deliberately, as part of a Southern strategy that's been going on for half a century, and everyone knows about it. And if you don't know about it, it's because you don't want to know about it, because you're lied. To be able to look at yourself in the mirror, you have to pretend it didn't happen or it isn't happening anymore. But the GOP is the last Confederate monument in this country. It's the biggest Confederate monument in this country. It has to come down. It has to be bulldozed, and it has, something else has to be erected in its place. But it cannot be allowed to stand, because they elected the worst human being imaginable, who has been a shithole every day of his campaign, and they voted for him, and he's been worse every day of his administration. And they're totally cool with that. And it's time to stop pretending. Whoever listens to this podcast in the media, you damn well know it's time to stop pretending the problem is the guy at the top of the ticket. It's the base of the party. They're the problem. And you still depend on them to buy dick pills and reverse mortgages on your network, so you don't ever insult them by name. But you goddamn well know they're the problem. And until we start saying the Republican Party is broken because it's full of fucking Republicans, nothing is going to change. Shall we? Happier time.
Well, I just wanted to let you know Hugh Hewitt is trending.
I know. I saw it.
Because he's convinced that influential activists, bundlers, influencers, are their support for Donald Trump has increased over this week.
Yes. Well, I told people, don't be hard on Hugh Hewitt. He is just a cyborg. A humble cyborg.
He's a cyborg sent from the future to destroy America.
Destroy America. And he can't help it. Does. That's how he's been programmed.
Getting back to the debt ceiling for just a moment. This is really brief, but it has been on my mind. Over the course of this week, I've had to stay at a hotel and, of course, get USA Today, which is just, I'm sorry, it's the worst newspaper. It is just so bad. You know, the day, Wednesday morning, after Trump had reversed any imagined progress he had made with his hostage, speech he gave on Monday of Nazism being bad. Tuesday, he just reversed all that and said both sides are good, have good people in them. And that the people that have written to us and said both sides is now dead are dead wrong.
Their heart's in the right place.
Their hearts are in the right place.
It should be dead.
We've seen this before enough times to know that this is the most lucrative lie the media tells.
Absolutely.
Both sides are equally bad, and it will be back.
And the most necessary. It is the most necessary, the most lucrative, and the most the worst of all the lies. I've said this
a
million times.
But you know what both sides don't do? Both sides don't hold the debt ceiling hostage on purpose.
You know, but maybe we should start.
Sometimes they vote against raising the debt ceiling as a protest if they know, like Barack Obama did once, if they know it's going to pass anyway as a way of making a statement.
You let your Senate, your caucus, figures out how many votes they need, and then
do it.
They let the people who they don't need off the hook and go out and make an incendiary statement, and we'll carry the water on this one. And that's how politics works. You know, everybody gets a turn to stand up and make a big speech or whatever and be let off the hook for votes that are going to kill them.
But both sides do not engage in brinkmanship over the creditworthy nation of the United States. They don't mess with that.
Yeah.
Well, once again, we are lurching toward, as USA Today says, Congress is lurching toward a last-minute vote to raise the debt limit. And everyone knows when you listen about this story that there is this date, and it's either September 30th or October 15th or whatever it is, the absolute last day that you've got to raise the limit or the United States goes into default.
Right. And the global economy starts to tailspin.
But it turns out that is with the extensions that the government has already played out from March. Mm-hmm. The government hit their debt ceiling in March. Now, this debt ceiling, first of all, is an imaginary thing. We're the only country in the world that does this, that has this kind of place where Congress has to vote in order to borrow more money.
You know what? Can I do a little shout out here?
Pay existing bills, by the way. Yeah, go ahead.
It reminds me of the computer in the cave on Lost, where every 104 minutes you have to type in a string of numbers, or the entire island will blow up. Mm-hmm. There is no reason. Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but in our economy, in our government, there's no reason to have this
except for politics.
This auto
they like to make a stand.
Yeah.
Right. And so, it is a ruse to pretend that Congress has some sort of say and also some sort of fiscal responsibility for debt. So, Mnuchin And any Treasury secretary that had to deal with this, whatever it was, if the Congress didn't pass this, but in this case it is Mnuchin, has had to do short-term measures, including postponing paying into the federal government employee retirement program. Uh-huh. They just stop paying that into that and owe that retirement fund money, which they have to pay interest on. All of the and other things. But all of this kind of finagling from March until October cost taxpayers $2.5 billion with a B dollars in the course of a six-month period. And, you know, as USA Today, which also said that, on, as I said, on Wednesday, their headline was Donald Trump returns to his bombastic style.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. You know, it was just like, we have the old Donald Trump back. Yeah. Not, you know, president goes full Nazi, right, alt-right, yeah. white supremacist, which.
President loses shit on TV.
Right, right. Yeah. No, this is. Making sure that we report the controversy, which I've, again, USA Today today, controversial leader Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
You know, controversial White House employee Steve Bannon has left the White House. And I keep tweeting back with that picture of Samuel L. Johnson saying, say controversial one more goddamn time. That's, you know, right. He's not controversial among sane people.
No, no.
All right, so the USA Today says that money could have been used for a program that benefits Americans.
It could have. It could have.
So, but to me, it just, when I read that sitting in the, you know, eating oatmeal in the hotel breakfast bar.
When are we going to hit our own debt limit?
None of this is money.
No.
You know, none of this is real money to these folks. This doesn't affect, as you say, this doesn't affect Shelley Adelson's bottom line.
Oh, God, no.
This
God,
doesn't affect Steve Mnuchin's bottom line of his checkbook. No. He's getting paid, and his taxes aren't going to go up under Trump. So it's all imaginary. I guess that's my point. And again, I apologize last week for feeling as though I was presenting myself as somehow throwing up my hands and being negative all the time, and I'm trying not to do that. Cynical. My cynicism is showing. But this isn't real money. They don't care.
They don't care.
And don't let anyone ever tell you. I mean, I bring this up when somebody starts saying they're concerned about the debt.
Yeah.
When some Republican says they're concerned about the debt. Really? Because Steve Mnuchin had to pay an extra $2.5 billion in interest to the retirement program of the federal government because you guys wouldn't pass just a debt ceiling increase. Because, you know, you had better things to do in March. You had to be taking away health insurance from poor kids.
Honestly, if you have weathered a tornado every month for the last 20 years and you see clouds swarming on the horizon, it's not skepticism that drives you to the storm shelter.
Right.
It's
right.
Holy shit, here we go again. We have seen this before. You and I have seen this before over and over again. This is how this is how these people are going to react. This is what these people are going to do. This is how these people are going to lie. This is how the excuses will come rolling out in this way. Mm-hmm. The splashing sound you hear are the predictable lifeboats hitting the water from all the people who desperately want to get out from under once again, out from under a disaster that they created. As much as it is within our power to do so, we are jumping up and down, yelling with our hair on fire, saying, don't let them do that, because we have no power to stop them.
No.
But we as a party do. We as a movement do. We certainly have enough people to focus it like a laser on something.
Well, and I think we do need to focus on this stupid tax cut for billionaires. Now, the Democrats in the Senate have done so and said we are not going to go along with any tax program that cuts taxes for the rich. This is a stealth attack on Social Security and Medicare, just like when Bush did it.
Yep.
It's a way of creating a financial crisis for the government so that you have to go after entitlements in order to make up the difference. That is the plan. That has always been the plan. And that's what they want to do. And Steve Mnuchin is saying the same thing that Bush's people said, which is we can get to 4% growth if only. If only we get, you know, the taxes down to a reasonable amount of money, you know, a reasonable amount for the friend, my friends on the golf course,
right?
Then, you know, that's your money. And then the economy will grow some more because you'll have more money in your pocket.
Well, and you know what you can do?
Yeah.
If you just pull all the control rods out of a nuclear reactor and kill the water, you'll get lots of electricity. It'll be lots of, like, for a brief period of time, that'll probably be true. And then very bad things happen after that.
Very bad things
But you know what? This is the week when Donald Trump lost his human shield. For that particular move.
And lost the narrative.
He did.
Go ahead.
This is when I hat tipped Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
This is when his CEOs all dropped him like third period French.
Yes, right.
All the people that I'm sure he hoped to, on meaningless councils, that he hoped to line up and say, see, I'm a business guy, business people, and everybody here's cool with deregulating the fuck out of everything, right? Yes, yes, yes. Everyone here wants their taxes cut, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hire lots of people, right? Let's get on this thing right now. Those people aren't there anymore. Because they, you know what? They started hearing from their customers and their employees saying.
And their stockholders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Saying, you're hanging with what now? Mm-hmm. You're associating our brand with Nazis? Really? Really? Mm-hmm. And the Arts Council all resigned today.
Yes. And did you notice, someone very smart on Twitter noticed that the first letter of each paragraph of their resignation letter spelled resist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this Arts Council is an actual agency of the federal government. This isn't some imaginary group of business people from Trump world. This was set up by Reagan. This is a government organization. So this is the first government department. And they may be volunteers and they may be honorary and they may be this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is an actual thing that a council that has been established for years. And this is the first one that en masse quit.
Yep.
And it's the artists. Of course it is. But and like I said, they wrote this resist letter, which is awesome. All right. One other thing is... the Goldman Sachs bankers in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing. Jim Hightower has an article out this week about how the big banks switched from mortgage-based securities to car loans. And they are now, and have been, packaging car loans as investments.
Wow.
In the stock market.
Wow.
And they apparently, you know, because they were allowed to, took full advantage of the housing crisis and bought up properties en masse in areas, in suburban areas, in cities. And I think he was talking about Nashville, Tennessee, or maybe it was somewhere in Kentucky, where one bank owns 70% of the rental properties.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you can just raise the rent every year. It's no big deal because the place across the street is raised too because we own everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's called an oligarchy.
It's called an oligarchy, and it's called abandoning the American dream of homeownership.
Oh yeah,
and saying that's not normal anymore.
Right.
What is normal is you rent from us, and you expect as the cost of having a roof over your head that the rent's going to go up every year.
And every town becomes a company town.
A company town. Exactly.
Every store becomes the company store.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, I sold my soul to the company store.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Donald Trump was right. The whole game's rigged. It's rigged.
Yeah. By all of his friends.
By all of his friends. By Steve Mnuchin. And then, you know, you bring in Steve Mnuchin and four other Goldman Sachs guys to run the economy for you. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
Well,
and what's going to happen is Donald Trump's taxes are going to get cut.
Yeah.
And
Steve
Mnuchin isn't asking to see Donald Trump's taxes from Russia. He doesn't need to see that.
No.
So where are we on our notes, though, Driftglass?
Well, I'd like to point out a little staff stuff that's coming out. Because everyone in the White House leaks all the time. And one of the biggest leakers is now going to be working at Breitbart, I believe, Steve Bannon. And will probably turn his guns on the White House or not, depending on what the agenda is. But this is just, you know, Nazis fighting Nazis, and I couldn't be happier. But the staffers, the ones who are refusing to quit for some reason, obviously don't have a conscience or someplace else to go, but are leaking out, you know, Trump is stubborn and doesn't realize how bad this is getting. There's one White House advisor said that his anger is always there. He's becoming irritated with the staffers. He's escalating fights because he doesn't like being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that while
he went rogue on Tuesday as well.
And the staff said, I mean, staff reports where they were stunned and disheartened because this was a meeting that was supposed to be on infrastructure. They had it all lined up. They had it all set. They was going to come out. He was going to do his, you know, statement and waving things, and people were going to go, yay. And his paid, you know, hacks were going to applaud because that's who he puts in the audience and to applaud him.
And all he had to say to make people like, you know, Bob Corker happy is, I stand by my statement yesterday.
Right,
what he said Monday when he was under stress to read what the right thing to say is.
When they made him do it.
When they made him read this thing, the Beltway would have just gone, okay, we're going to accept that.
Because that's what we do.
I stand by my statement yesterday. Because that's all he had to say.
That's what they do. That, you know, the minute, and this goes all the way back to the Bush administration, goes back to the Clinton administration. The minute you say the magic words that the media wants to hear, you're forgiven.
Right.
If you're a Republican. If you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter how fucking right you are. It doesn't matter that Hillary Clinton warned you about everything Trump is doing. It doesn't matter how pristine you are. It doesn't matter how many different ways you apologize for wearing a tan suit or calling a cop stupid for arresting Skip Gates in his own home. You will never be forgiven because you're a Democrat. But if you're a Republican, just say the magic words and we'll let you off the hook. So he said the magic words and everything's going to be fine. And then he came down and it wasn't an accident because he had his own remarks pre-printed in 70-point font in his fucking suit jacket. So he knew he was going to come down and start reopening this issue because he was right and everybody was wrong. And he and if you didn't see it, well, you missed a historic, you know, watching Nixon shove his press secretary out to the wolves.
Yeah.
Is nothing compared to that. Because this wasn't a press secretary. This was as if Nixon had lost his mind on stage and was like, fuck yeah, I did it. I taped everybody. I want you all dead. And that's how bad it was. And it kept going and going. And you know what happened? Nobody on the staff interceded and said,
nope, they looked down at the floor and were very disappointed. Yes.
Because believe me, having worked in and around government and watched elected officials and watched appointed officials lose their shit and get in over their head, usually a staffer will intercede, step in between the media and the person who's having their head taken off and say, and we're done. Questions are done. We're done. This is what
we're out of time. There's all kinds of ways you can say it.
This is what Rex Tillerson's people did all the time.
Yeah.
This is why you can't get a quote from him for weeks. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not taking any questions. But no, Donald Trump himself wanted to come out and explain that Nazis are – there's plenty of nice people among the Nazis.
And the white, don't forget, they applied for a permit.
They did. They did. And boy, wasn't that just a meme waiting to happen. Yeah. I think Patton Oswalt tweeting out Indiana Jones beating up a Nazi. You know, college professor, Antifa college professor cruelly abuses Nazi who had a permit.
Yep.
It just went on and on. And it was – and his staff were just blown out because they clearly didn't realize what everybody outside, certainly everyone on the left realizes, is you work for a racist lunatic. And he's going to keep right on being a racist lunatic.
And we've known that about him since the 70s.
Yeah. And we know that 67% of your party, 2/3 of the Republican Party, approve of what he does, like him that way. And the other third just want their goddamn taxes cut and don't want people reminding them that they voted Republican.
Well, I want to know. What's the signing ceremony? What's the end game of that bill? Where is it going to go? You're going to have him, you know, pocket veto that one or pocket sign that one and not have a ceremony with tax cuts at the center? You think he's going to just sign it in private and walk away?
Well,
no, he's going to want to have
a big ceremony,
a televised ceremony with you, Mitch McConnell, and you, Paul Ryan, standing behind him applauding.
Oh, they'll do it. I mean, that's what I don't get. So what?
Well, and Paul Ryan can say goodbye to his job.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Because he might be so gerrymandered.
Mitch McConnell, nobody's going to vote Mitch McConnell out of office.
Yeah.
Right. The people of Kentucky love their racist, you know.
They do. And Paul Ryan is never going to vote for abortion. So those Catholic Germans in wherever that Wisconsin town is, you know, are going to go all the way for that.
And so, let's go back to Eugene Robinson. This
yeah, right.
Surely right. Now we have gone too far. Any statement that begins with history will remember is just bullshit. As long as we have a media who will obligingly forget what you did and sweep it under the rug, and the only people who will talk about it are, you know, are Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. As long as that those people own the media
and Tina Fey
and her sheet kicking, I would like to point out that this week was so bad that David Brooks, who last week swore off ever writing about conservatism and politics ever again, swore off not writing about conservatism and politics. Like he unquit so he could go back to both sidering.
Oh my God.
So he could go back to, you know, both sides, you know, really it's, you know, there's these things that, and it really is this, I've said this before also, it is this incredibly powerful MRI that we're all going through. And you can really see where people and institutions stand and what they stand for. And you can if you just look, all you got to do is look, you can really see what a soulless hack that David Brooks is. Absolutely nothing motivating him beyond pleasing the tiny group of wealthy plutocrats who read his column and ride the train with him up and down the Acela corridor, and college presidents and people who set up TED Talks. And they all want to believe that there is this magic group of learned people out there who are loosely attached to the conservative movement, who are somehow immune and above all this stuff, and then that what's happening at the Trump White House isn't the real Republican Party. And as long as those deluded rich assholes want to believe that, David Brooks is going to go right on telling them exactly what they want to hear.
Well, and I wonder if David Brooks didn't get called on the carpet or get a phone call from somebody upstairs saying, you can't not write about politics. That's your job.
Well, but his answer to that is...
is both sides. Okay, great. I'll go back to writing about politics. I'll write about both sides.
It's about modesty. How everyone needs modesty. We need to be more modest. Because you know what? During... on Normandy, on D-Day... that's what beat the Nazis was modesty. Was epistemological modesty. And
well, I will say in argument with that, however, that, you know, Eisenhower did write his letter of resignation that day as if it failed.
Personal modesty.
You know, personal modesty is fine. It's a question of let's distract everybody from the Nazi shit gimmick in the White House.
It wasn't
talk
like
about personal, our own modesty as a way of avoiding.
No, Eisenhower didn't tell the troops, let's all sit here in England and think on our sins.
Yeah, no.
You know, let's all understand, you know, the every side of every issue, and let's not be so brash and sort of sure of ourselves that we should cross the channel and take these people. Because, you know, really, there's a lot of crazy on both sides. As I said on Twitter, the arc of the moral universe does bend towards justice, but occasionally it requires several hundred thousand armed federal troops to bend it in that direction.
Exactly.
And that's something that our friends in the media don't want. Every time they invoke Lincoln, I'm like, you mean Abraham Lincoln, the guy who...
And the Union Army, right,
you mean that
burned down Atlanta, that one?
You mean that, you know, wishful thinking and modesty did not stop the fucking Nazis.
No. And
the U.S. Army.
As we said last week, they were not allowed to come into the Union in time to rescind the 13th Amendment. It was a requirement. Here's your compromise. The compromise is you come in and you have to ratify the 13th Amendment to be back with us. Yeah.
No, we're not going to do that. No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We're not. And that's again, everyone and every institution is being thoroughly x-rayed, and you can see who and what they are. And the squirmy little both-siderists who are so desperate not to be judged or have anyone judge them,
you
or have anyone
Matthew
bring
Dowd?
Up.
Oh, is that like, who you're talking about?
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but sure.
Yeah.
Matthew Dowd suddenly really thinks the worst thing you could do if you're a Democrat and you were thinking of the first strategy for an electoral strategy, the worst strategy in the world is to like rub someone's nose in the fact that they didn't vote against Donald Trump. Because, of course, Matthew Dowd was proud of the fact that he voted for neither Hillary nor Donald Trump. He refused to participate in the corrupt duopoly. And now that it turns out for the millionth time, the left was right all along. He, this very out and proud Catholic who puts up a sermon every goddamn day in his Twitter feed, apparently has lost the ability to confess or atone or repent. Because that's for other people. Confessing that you fucked up real bad and that maybe you shouldn't have pissed your vote away. And maybe it was a really dumb idea to play this goddamn both sides game all this time to the point where, hell, why not? You know, no one's going to hold us accountable for anything, and Hillary has those emails, so why the fuck shouldn't we? Playing that game had enormous tragic consequences, and the people who played it will not own it. And that's why it's up to us to really, really rub their nose in it.
Well, and this is Melissa Francis on Fox as well, crying that she's being judged for defending Donald Trump's both sider statement, and that what's in her heart is really good and not racist at all. And people are I just feel like people are judging me.
Yeah, that was to give us some context, that was the crotch couch on Fox.
Yes, it is. It's outnumbered, the crotch couch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's got to be real careful when she cries because she don't want her lash to fall off and fall into her panties because her skirt is up to her crotch.
She didn't want to talk about them Nazis, but then it was, you know, no, they were really bad. They were really there. And she just started weeping into that. I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person inside. I feel people are judging me. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we are. You work in a whorehouse. You work in a whorehouse and you lie for a living. Yes, we are very.
And let's talk about the people that you've lied about as an employee of Fox.
Yeah.
You've lied about Barack Obama. Uh-huh. You've lied about food stamp recipients.
You've lied
about the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
We can go on and on and talk about all of the things that you've done to judge other people.
Yeah.
To pass judgment. I mean, particularly outnumbered is all about women sitting in miniskirts on couches and having that frowny face about what the world is like today and how I raise my kids. Mm-hmm. And we should. It is the women's middle of the day hour on Fox for, you know, the men are watching the thighs and the women, it's a woman's show. You know, there's one guy and four women, and the four women are supposed to be speaking for women, you know, about how you raise your kids with values. And some people just don't. Mm. And I've heard some people say that Donald Trump is just a great president. I've heard some people say Barack Obama's not a good president.
Right. Well,
So this has been going on, you know, her job is to judge people that Fox wants their audience to hate.
And shake her head and be very judgy. Yeah. And you know what? Now the bell tolls for thee. And she's all she's like America's newest favorite Nazi on you know, and he had a warrant. And I'm under arrest. I'm very afraid.
I'm going to be
right
under
now.
Arrest and go to jail.
I'm very afraid. I had a permit and everything. I tried so hard to be peaceful. And no, that's bullshit. And you're a pussy. And
we've got lots of video of you. I love the guy who edited the video back and forth between him weeping over there's a warrant out for his arrest.
I'm very sad.
You know, he tries to be a good person and do everything according to the law, and then he's marching shirtless through the street saying he's going to kill people.
Yeah. And there was a lot more. So, you know, that's who these people are. Okay. Mm-hmm. There aren't any in a crowd full of what I think Charlie Pierce called the Citronella SS. in a crowd full of tiki torch carrying Nazi and skinheads and Klansmen and free-floating militia nuts who came armed to the teeth, there are no good people. There are no good people in that crowd. If you're in that crowd, you're a bad person or you're a
And even
moron.
If you've got skinny jeans and a scholarship to UVA,
bad person.
Tough shit. Yeah, you're a bad person.
Sorry.
Yes.
And I think as long as we're parked on Fox, I think it's just incredibly important that we not forget that Eric Bolling is still suspended for sending dick pics around, allegedly.
Let's not forget that Bob Mueller is still doing his job, too.
Oh, they're in the background.
Trump, Russia. Yes,
around. There's a few other things we want to mention.
We've only got a few more minutes.
This was the week that Trump's lawyer, his personal lawyer, decided he'd jump in. You know what? I'm not getting enough love here. I'm not getting enough love. So he decided to send that email out. Saying that Black Lives Matter has been infiltrated by terrorist groups and the Confederacy was the same as the American Revolution because there was apparent he said, oh, wait a minute. This is the tribe that rubs shit in its hair. Oh, everybody's rubbing shit in their hair and I'm failing.
Was this so Jay Sekulow saying this?
No. This was a guy named Dowd.
Oh, the Dowd
His
guy.
Personal
okay.
lawyer right. decided, you know what? Now is a good time to share with you my own rustic beliefs about Black people and the Confederacy, because that's a great idea because they're all horrible. All of these people are horrible. All of them have to go. There's no good in there anywhere. I'm sorry. This is like judging Nazis. It's really easy. If you work for the White House, if you work for the Republican Party, if you are a member of that group of elected Republican officials, or you staff them, or you help them get elected, you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You're a really mm-hmm. bad person. And I know you don't think that, because bad people don't sit in front of a mirror twiddling their mustaches going, I was so evil today. I plan to do evil more. No, no. Bad people never think of themselves as bad.
That's what. That's the secret. That's the Alan Rickman secret.
Yes.
Alan Rickman's secret to how you play a villain. Mm-hmm. Villains don't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, what evil can I do today? That's a psychopath. Evil people think they're doing great, think they're doing exactly the right thing. They've got a perfect motivation for defending the president, defending the party, making sure we get the tax cut fixed.
And
you know,
here's the
making
thing.
Sure we have tax reform to grow the economy, and right? That's the lie they tell them.
Here's a tell. Right. If your excuse is the Democratic Party is something, you know, the Democrat Party is the party of the Klan.
Yeah.
And I can show you why what you just said is bullshit. And mm-hmm. your response is not, oh, I was misled. Your response is, oh, then I must go to bullshit excuse number two and change the subject. Then you are a bad person. You have a bigoted, awful, dark little heart, and you're looking for excuses that you can present to the public for being a bad person. But you're just a bad person. Mm-hmm. And that's really the problem. And if you're under 20 and you believe a lot of nutty things, you'll probably get over it. If you're in your 30s and 40s or 50s or 70s, or you're the 71-year-old orange racist lunatic who's the head of the United States, you're never going to get over it. You're mm-hmm. going to be a bad person probably till the day you die. And it's
what's the name you have for Trump now?
Oh,
you
have a name. Bullshit Connor.
Bullshit Connor.
Yeah. Raving racist lunatic that nobody wants to really talk about, and yet he won't shut up about it. I do want to talk, since we're talking about bad people, I want to talk about good people for a minute.
Okay.
A lovely I Am Spartacus moment.
Okay.
Where hundreds of people lined up in front of the Durham, North Carolina County detention facility to confess, air quotes, to tearing down a Confederate monument.
Yep. In order to get the woman who was arrested and is facing 49 months in jail exonerated. Or you know, we're not going to file charges against her. That's a really brilliant way to do it, because if you can make the DA's office have all of a sudden, you know, an extra $10,000 taken from their budget to process paperwork for the 90 people who confessed,
right,
you're making it hurt for them.
Well, that
to
was
press
the
charges against the one
part of that was the civil rights strategy of just
exactly
break the jails, fill them up.
Break the jails and count them as they go in.
Right.
So, you know, I know Mr. White Sheriff, who's, you know, in the Klan, and we all know it. I know exactly how many black kids you've got in that jail. And I know, you know, I know exactly how many, and I'm going to count them when they come out, and that number better match. And if somebody's missing, it's on you.
And speaking of good people, Barack Obama's Charlottesville tweet is now the most liked tweet in history.
Yeah.
Not
a long history for Twitter, but
we think
of Twitter as always being there.
No.
And it's not. But yeah, that is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about Heather Heyer's mother?
Oh, well, I was going to go to some lighter matters, but I'd like you to talk about that.
Well, I heard that funeral service live as I was driving to and fro, and it sounded like something I would say, and then all of a sudden my email blew up.
Yeah, I was watching the same thing. This is probably why Blue Gal would like me to. I was watching this brave, authentic, wonderful, loving woman talk about losing her daughter and how she's going to grieve about that and how we're going to make it count, because she was a great person and she died doing what she loved. And you will not erase her. You will amplify her. I thought, you know what? That is exactly what my wife would say.
And my email blew up because, yes, Mrs. Bro, her last name is Bro, Susan Bro. The part about her saying we're going to make the world a better place, it's our job, in her memory, in Heather Heyer's memory, we are going to make the world a better place. And the people that tried to kill her, you know, illuminated her and magnified her work. They didn't end it. And she is, because of her mother, I believe, now a civil rights icon.
Yep.
She is a rallying cry for those who will end hate in her name.
Mm-hmm.
And so my email blew up a little bit, and a lot of people were saying, you know, that Heather Heyer funeral, that the mother sort of went full Blue Gal this time. It wasn't full Drift Glass. She was going full Blue Gal. So I appreciate that. I noticed it, and I didn't go you know, I didn't pat myself on the back because it's not about me.
No, but it was so.
But it was pleasing to me that other people noticed that. Oh gosh, what podcast have I heard that word on before? Those words, you know, where have I heard that before?
Well, and honestly, it was refreshing in a horrible way. But this was the week when I think a lot of people got it through their heads that it's women and minorities and minority women who make the Democratic Party go.
Exactly.
That's who we are as a party.
And the blue wave that's coming is going to come from women and people of color. And you might as well decide now as Republicans, you know, we're talking about Republicans having to decide what side they're on.
Mm-hmm.
White Democratic men have to decide what side they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And if their side is, we're really going to try hard to appeal to hillbilly, redneck, white supremacist, you know, Joe Sixpack, because that's the voter we need, and leave behind the pussy hat rebellion, you're gonna fail.
And I think the person who said this really, really well this week, and I'm gonna write about it because I'm a white man and therefore I need to appropriate what someone did better than me, it was Shakespeare's sister.
Yeah
Because there's this trust fund, cage raised, milk fed, Harvard, pasty white 12-year-old conservative named Julius Crean, who decided he would found a journal called American Affairs, the pro-Trump journal. And he's every bit the third generation welfare queen inbred white clown you would imagine him to be.
He's Hugh Hewitt minus 40 years.
Yeah, he really is. He's a preening little punk intellectual who has all the right connections, has the right skin color. He came through Harvard. I don't know if he's trusted him, but I assume he knows somebody. But because he decided to be the authentic intellectual voice of the Trump revolution, suddenly he was everywhere. He's sitting, he's at the inauguration. He's being interviewed side by side with Andrew Sullivan. And, you know, and it's like he went from zero to prominent in no time at all, with no qualifications, precisely because he's conservative, white, male, and well-connected. He then regrets what he did.
And now he's everywhere on the media?
And he was given space in the New York Times to tell his amazing story about being wrong, because the white, male, conservative voice is the preferred voice of the media. And Shakespeare's sister says, look, I have nothing to regret. I didn't vote for this asshole. Where's my fucking column in the New York Times? And it's never going to come, darling. Never coming. Because you're not white, you're not male, and you're not conservative. And those are the people who have privileged places at the seat, and they always will until the system is overturned.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week we have actually a very special internet dog, Noelle.
Noelle!
Noelle is, as of this very week, a certified service dog. She is trained to alert her owner, who is a podcast listener, by the way, to low and high blood sugar, which she can smell.
Mm-hmm.
As well as a leaky insulin pump. She can warn about that, too. That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
She does all of this by sense of smell. And this week, Noelle received full certification from the American Kennel Company. I'm sorry. From the AKC.
Let's just say AKC, shall we?
AKC, yeah, okay. And this week, she received full certification from the AKC that her training is complete. The picture on our Facebook page and website is of her with her ribbons of certification. Congratulations to Noelle. That's a lot of hard work on her part, and to her owner for having such a wonderful dog. We're so proud. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go, Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local. We also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store.
Yeah.
Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties would like to remind you that this entire podcast is off the record.
Let's think about living. Think about living. Just think about loving. Think about loving. Just think about the hooping and the humping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the flower and the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Fake news, sparkle farters.